This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Oh, bang, bang. Back at it again. Yeah, Design Huddle, we got an episode for you recording earlier in this week. Mustafa and I have a packed topic to talk about, packed agenda, I mean. It's Apple. We have to talk about arguably the biggest tech product release of all time. Mustafa, what did Apple just release?
There's been quite a good thing, few things that they've actually done with their Mac laptops in particular. Up until recently, everything has been moving towards USB-C as the single port. And this has been quite frustrating for folks who've had like legacy devices. Mm-hmm. So the biggest criticism of Apple is selling dongles as a thing. And so like reducing the amount of ports. The thing that's interesting is it seems to have brought back a HDMI port back again. They've got like the MagSafe port for the power back again, as well as the USB ports that they originally had. And it looks like an SSD card reader as well. Which is really, really interesting because I was starting to buy into the idea of a single USB-C port which you could connect all your devices to, and that seems to have gone back the other way, which is an interesting step. Maybe this is like the first set of devices that didn't have Jonathan Ive's input in it, who Jonathan Ive seemed to be going to the more simplistic route, where they seem to be going back. So I mean, this has been has a really positive trend on Twitter, in particular. And so that's been really good. They've also removed the touch bar, which was also very, very unpopular too.
RIP, it had a good run. I only used it strictly for emojis.
I didn't really mind it too much. I mean, it was one of those things where I never really used it. I've never been big on using like the F keys for stuff. But obviously, the developer community hated it because it's quite a big part of their workflow. But yeah, I mean, that's been pretty good. What's been pretty hilarious is that on their Apple site, they've released a polish cloth. I don't know if you know what this is. So if you ever bought an iPhone or even a Mac, MacBook in the past, you'd get like a little bit of fabric to wipe your screen, which I'd never used. I just throw it in the drawer and never see it again. Well, Apple are making like a deep cleaning cloth, calling the polishing cloth, for $19. And I don't know if this is a joke.
I gotta share my screen for everybody watching on YouTube. Yeah. Let's take a look at this. What are the features of the polishing cloth? Is this the greatest cloth? Is this the greatest piece of cloth ever made?
Tribute. shout out to Nathan C. it probably has microfibers, which when it
I can't tell if the image isn't loading or is that it? This is the worst image for accessibility I've ever seen. I can't even see it. Can you see it? I believe it's over. Yeah, the image is. Oh my gosh. That is the worst accessibility thing I've ever seen in my life. The image is over here. It's a white cloth with no outline, no backdrop. So it's got to be one of the worst designed product pages I've ever seen. Like, I know it might be a hot take, but you can't see the
product. What can you really do? You can't have a model just like gently, like, you know.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I don't need a model to see the polishing cloth.
People
it's a
doing
ridiculous
selfies
thing
with the polished
to sell
cloth,
anyways,
you know, in the background. That could be like a meme.
It's not that. You can't see it. Like, we're looking at... Do you see it on my screen? Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, well, it's a
can you see
square.
It?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Basically, it looks like, you know, a skeleton screen when you're loading a site.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. It was on screen for maybe 10 seconds, and I was like, way that's it. But $19, but don't worry. I think it's free shipping. We have to find out.
Well, is that on the UK site, it says free shipping.
Add it back.
That's good. I mean, so for Christmas, if you have, you know what they call the Secret Santa, where you have to buy someone something, and there's like a $20 limit, maybe buying this for them, they would really appreciate that, because it'd be, you know,
$20, yeah, pretty much, for a piece of cloth.
But what's interesting is it's like $20 in the US, but it's £20 in the UK. Sorry, it's $19 in the US and it's £19 in the UK. But like, that's actually, I think, $24. Like, so the British people are paying more for per cloth, per cloth inch or per cloth centimeter. So basically, the one in the UK is probably worth more, or it's being ripped off more. So yeah, now this is quite an interesting, interesting thing. I don't want this to.
Conservatively, how much does this cost to make? Conservatively, like including the entire supply chain, this cannot be. And this is a very high estimate. More than like a quarter to make this. I mean, it's got to be less than that. They're cutting it on giant machines, like stitching the outside. Like, there's no way it can cost more than 25 cents to make. The markup is insane. I can't get over it. Like,
Ryan, I think we're in the wrong business. We need to get into the screen polish.
I mean, if polishing cloths are going for $20. Like, we need to just start a polishing cloth business. I'd love to know how many units they sell. Like, this is like, I guarantee you, if you just went on Amazon or anywhere and you just typed in like computer cloth, you could get one for $1, maybe even less, like depending on the quality. The bottom line is, though, you put the cleaning solution and then you're wiping the screen. Like, the solution is what matters more than the cloth. Like, I've used pretty low quality cloths and gotten the same results. So I'm also just like trying to wrap my head around, like, this to me just screams like I'm so deep into the Apple ecosystem that I'm like drinking the Kool-Aid to getting specialized cloths for my to clean my screen.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I just, like, there's this trend, that sort of secret trend on Amazon where people would add really like fake reviews for HDMI cables, which are really expensive. And so there was one that was like, I think, $1,000. And the reviews were hilarious. They're like written by almost comedy writers, where they basically say all the magical things they'd use will happen when they plug in this HDMI cable. And this kind of reminds me of that. It's an overpriced piece of cloth. But speaking of overpriced, it's like the cheapest new MacBook starts at $2,000. So even the price of the devices seemed really, really high. What I would say to folks, if you go to any Apple site, go scroll down to the bottom, click on the refurbished section, and you'll find things which are much cheaper, which are still under warranty guarantee. It changes depending on the country you're in. But in the UK, you get a standard year. And then obviously, if you can buy like the Apple Care, you get like extra years. So yeah, I don't know. Apple are known to be quite expensive. But from all of the devices I've ever had, they do last and they are high quality. I have to say.
I'm the first one to agree with you. The quality is super high. They tend to have like really well done like hardware.
Yeah, I know.
But like, I don't know, there's a point of division. So we're in this world right now where it's like the creator economy, right? People are going to college less. Kids are like learning the same stuff they learned in college on YouTube and TikTok and social, and like they're taking like online classes that you can get, some are arguing, the same value as a 4-year college degree. So the question is that, like, if you're a creator, I think it's getting harder and harder to justify a MacBook Pro when you're starting off. Like if you really kind of just take the nuts and bolts of what you're doing as a creator, of course, you're spending a lot of time in editing software, but like spending $2,000 and shelling that out, I'd love to hear from a creator if that is like worth the purchase. I think going the refurbished route is an obvious thing that I would recommend, because you're still getting a very high quality device. And you can get all the design software baked in. But how much? I think I had the prices here for a sec. Let me take a quick look at what the prices were. So there was, so the price on the Apple, what's the difference here? So there's three prices on the Apple M1 Pro chip. So there's a one for $2,500, $2,700, and then $3,500 USD. Just like, those are,
I mean, for a studio company, like, and if you're like billing, you know, these are tax deductible, right? But for an individual freelancer, this is a huge investment. And this is where I think if Microsoft gets their act together, or like there's the release of a Chromebook that has like serious design tools on it, then you can see like that could be a feasible option to go, like as the world is like using Figma, like you're not really installing stuff anymore. But still, I mean, when it comes to video editing, game development, music production, like you can't beat the software that's on the Mac and the performance that you get for it. I mean, it's just, it is what it is, right? You know, the tools are there.
Yeah. Speaking of the features, here's like the quick rundown of the specs if you're interested. Up to 21 hours of battery life, 2x faster storage, 11x faster ML. I don't really get how you can, I guess it's the querying of them. Yeah, but Liquid Retina XDR display. The size of it, of the new M1 Pro and M1 Max, like the actual width, or I guess the height, is like, it's unbelievable how they have gotten it so thin and light at this point. There's up, the CPU is up to 3.7 times faster, 13x faster graphics, up to 8 terabytes of storage without needing any like external, which is huge for creators. That's a lot. I mean, people, for my YouTube friends, they just burn through terabytes of like, you know, external hard drives. So being able to have 8 terabytes baked in is pretty huge. And then 64 gigabytes of memory, 1080p for FaceTime and HDR camera. And then obviously we already talked about the HDMI, light, Thunderbolt, and Magic Keyboard, which I'm not sure what that is. But
it's like Harry Potter pops up and says Expelliarmus when you type something wrong. The other thing that's been criticized is the fact they've introduced a notch to the Mac laptop. I think this is to basically try to expand and get as much screen space, but obviously you've got the camera that sits at the top of the screen. So trying to get to the full width becomes a bit hard. So yeah, the notch is quite ugly because it eats into the actual screen UI. But then I think most professionals are going to be plugging their laptop into a monitor anyway. So I don't know if that's even that important. So, you know, but, you know, people complain because they like to complain. But yeah, I don't think that the thing that I think is ludicrous is the price and, and the cloth. But other than that, I think, you know, who's actually going to be able to buy this?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I think the takeaway here is like people will always buy it. It's a luxury good. People love, you know, MacBook Pro. Like I've used the MacBook Pro for years. It's definitely my laptop of choice. Performance is usually great. They tend to last a good amount of time. I've had this MacBook Air that I'm literally using right now to record probably for 8 or 9 years at this point. I don't even think it's really difficult to get software updates at this point because it's so old. So the one other thing that I heard through the grapevine and through like Twitter is that the sound is really good, which is not something that I would typically say is like something that stands out. But the new MacBook Pro has 6-speaker sound system, which includes woofers and 2 tweeters. And Apple says during their keynote that it's 80% more bass. So if you're wanting to bump songs directly from your laptop without having external speakers, maybe that's it. And then the last thing that I just wanted to kind of bring home here is like just putting an emphasis on like the price here. So of course, so this is the final breakdown of the price. 14-inch MacBook Pro is $2,000 USD, 16-inch $2,500, and the most expensive 16-inch, if you fully max it out with everything, guess the price. $6,000 to trick it out.
Yeah,
for a laptop. You better get insurance on that. Imagine if you just drop it or like, I don't know. It's just crazy that people, unbelievable. But I get it. I mean, there's professional studios that like, well, this is their livelihood. So,
if you need a superpower device, like if you're doing any games development or video editing, like hardcore stuff, you really need like the actual towers, right? Doing it on the laptop is not really feasible. Like you just need a device that can process stuff really fast and efficiently. So a laptop, I mean, if you're going to spend money, you're better off spending money on that. Or there are other cheaper options to do stuff. So you've got like the Mac Minis and stuff, which I know a lot of video production people do, because they can just connect that to the monitor and then just process everything on there and just leave it to it. But yeah, now again, it's like, this is for studio folks, right? And
yeah, I think that's the audience. Yeah, I think overall it was a very, I guess, like, the Twitter actions were somewhat quiet. I think people were most excited. The MacBook Pro is, like, again, fully tricked out, but, you know, performance updates, thinner, kind of the normal updates that we tend to see from Apple. But I'm curious to see if anybody tries this, like, how good is the performance? I'm sure it's, like, yeah, insanely fast. So, but yeah, that's it. Apple's got a new $20 polish cloth, so I'm sure that's going to sell quick. So make sure you get over there to get that.
Or not. Or just get a refurbished machine. That's what I'd recommend all the time. Just refurbished. Unless, the only downside to refurbished devices, in particular the phones, is they for example, Apple still sell iPhone 8s as refurbished, and they still support it. The challenge is, as newer devices come out, Apple won't support those older ones. So if the difference, if you're looking for cheap, the difference between an iPhone SE and an iPhone 8 refurbished is maybe like $30. So is it worth going for the much cheaper option for a device that may not be supported in the future? Again, it's something to consider. So yeah, sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's just worth just buying the bullet and buying the real thing. But there is another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Ryan. I just remembered. Speaking of cost, you know Salt Bae, don't you? Salt Bae, the guy with...
The steakhouse guy who drops salt on his arm.
Yeah, so in the UK, he opened a restaurant about... a week ago. Yeah, well, a customer complained because they got a bill for £37,000. I've sent you the...
Jeez.
I sent you the link. Basically, I mean, they've got on the bill, it's like Red Bull, a can of Red Bull for like £14, which is about like, you know, $20, which you could buy for much cheaper.
Dude, that Red Bull literally better give you wings. Like, you better, like, grow wings after drinking that.
So, you know, herb crushed fries were $41. Asparagus was $25. Mashed potatoes, $16.
But still, how does it rack up? Like, these are insanely overpriced items.
I think, like, the thing is, it's two things, basically. It's like the bottles of wine. Like, one was a 2003 Petrus for $27,000. I think that's basically what hammered them. But yeah, I mean, they've been charging like over like a grand and a half for a steak, which is like got gold leaf on it. And gold leaf is basically real gold, which has been smashed down to really thin pieces. It's not dangerous for people for consumption, but it has no, like, you know, benefit as well. So,
flavor or anything?
It's, yeah, just, it just a looks look. Like...
To me, this is just like...
this.
No, this just screams like a culture of excess. We're just like wasting gold and wrapping it in meat. Like, I feel like there's better uses of our...
You know, in the US, they have like the gold rush where people would be like sieving through gold. They're probably doing the sewers now. Because they could probably... but well, yeah.
We're going down rabbit holes, but like, I want to go down this one. So there's what's it called? The Diamond District in New York. So there's people that like will find like small bits of gold that I guess get like dusted off and transported because of all of the jewels and gold that come in and out of the area. So there's people that like comb the sidewalks trying to find like microscopic pieces of gold. But then it, like, you know, it can add up. It's still gold that you can melt down and turn into something else. So I was watching this like series about how this guy's full-time job is just to crawl that whole district and just like trying to find small pieces.
Yeah, no, because if you get like a blowtorch, because I've seen it, because I've been to jewelers in Turkey. If you get like a blowtorch and just burn, all the dust burns immediately. Then you can see the droplets of gold, and because it just melts and moves around. And then you can slowly just like almost like herding sheep and get all the droplets to go together. So you...
And what, just like kind of pull
Yeah, pretty
it,
much. If you've got
together.
Like a, you know what dentists use to like scrape teeth? Like one of those tools that you slowly just start moving the droplets of gold. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you'd be allowed to do that on the streets of New York, walk around with a blowtorch going, I'm just looking for gold. But going back to, what, it's Nusret Et, I think. It's Nusret Gökçe, which is like the Salt Bae's real name. There was a journalist from The Guardian whose, I think his job is to review restaurants. So what he did was, because he thought it was just such a waste of money, he got a table and a tablecloth and then just bought like a kebab for like $9 and just sat outside and ate it when taking pictures. This is probably more tasty than what's going on inside. So yeah, I think those restaurants are designed for Instagram accounts, you know, influencers to take pictures and then share with people. Like, I can't see the point in spending $100 for a burger. It can't be that good. It can't be
that. It's not. I think that's why, like, there's food for me has a point of diminishing return, right? Where it's like, no matter how good it is, there's a level that, like, once you meet a certain threshold, it's not worth the additional price. Like, very rare have I ever been, like, something over, I don't know, $75 is worth the price. Like, that's an insane amount of money to spend on a meal. So it's
it comes
like,
about more the experience, right? You know.
I don't know. I just...
The experience, I suppose. But...
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is that, like, the way that, like, these restaurants, you know, their viral marketing strategy a lot of times is like, let's get a bunch of people with a lot of clout and following, bring them into the restaurant, they'll comp the meal, and the people are just like filming this content. So it's like the show around it, right? Like Salpe got famous because it's so ridiculous on how he salts, you know, salts the steak. So it's like a lot of it is just like you're paying for the theater of like going out to dinner. Again, I don't think it's anywhere worth anywhere near the price. I've heard the food is like...
Well, you expect it to be, good, right?
But nowhere anywhere close to justifying. I mean, if it's not, then the business, it would be shut down fairly quickly. But I agree. It's kind of a gimmick. I think it's funny that like how pop... It's also like I feel like the Salt Bae dude is like still trying to remain relevant, right? So like he has to like open up new restaurants or like do something else because he had that like... You know, he was viral sensation, and he's kind of been riding riding that for a while. So I'm like actually kind of surprised he was able to open a restaurant. You know, is it in like a posh area?
But he's got like 15 of them around the world, usually in like Dubai or wherever. Like it's like
Oh wow! Yeah, well, I didn't realize it was that popular.
It's like he's like hit the influencer market, right? So I suppose the question is, how different is this to like Apple products? I know it seems like if
I like that. No, because I'm tie it back to the first
reason why I brought up is when you mentioned the concept of like opulence and decadence, and it feels like if you're a regular user, buying spending $6,000 on a laptop seems like diminished returns. Like, what are you actually going to be getting from this? I mean, it's like that thing where I think Sony were probably the first company to do this is when they turned something that was primarily a geeky product, which is the PlayStation 1, and they made it an iconic thing where they'd pay like R&B singers and rappers to have the PlayStation like in their music videos. And this was in the 90s where the music videos were like these big theatrical things where millions were spent on them, right? Like, you know, I remember like Busta Rhymes spent like $2 million on that music video, I think, with him and Janet Jackson, you know, like, so it's like they were really big productions, and so having product placement was a big thing. And the PlayStation, and then later on the iMac, I think Apple rode that wave as well. Like having the tech, the joypad of the PlayStation 1 was like an iconic thing. So I can see why people buy these devices to feel like they're a part of the theater of like, you know, opulence and decadence, and as if they're part of a tribe. But then there's the other side of if you're making $100,000 a year, let's say, as a designer, $6,000 is probably a good investment, right? You know, for, and also it's tax deductible as well if you're a freelancer. But it's like, is there like a line where it's almost like this Nusret Et, like, you know, is a gold leaf Macintosh laptop really worth it? I don't know. Can you do the same thing on a Chromebook? I know that sounds funny.
I mean, it's a status thing, right? Like, it's a luxury good. So it's like, part of it is like, you have the Apple logo. They've built their brand like that for a while. Like, they know the prices are obviously, the markup is insane. They know that the people are like, they know their core audience is going to buy it, but it is a luxury good. Like, there is, you can get the thing that I struggle with as someone that loves tech and loves design is like, as more and more companies like come about, and as we can like create smaller and smaller computer chips at a more reasonable cost, like there's a ton of competition. There should be like the average price of a laptop should be getting more and more competitive. But now we just have this tiered structure. But the thing I will say that is beneficial is like you can get you know, a $500 laptop that is like really good, like that does all the core stuff that you need. And I think that to me is like, that's exciting. Like, I think Dell still does a good job at like creating a budget friendly laptop. Them and HP do a great job. And I think Chromebook is the other one that I would throw into the mix, especially for the education system. Like, a ton of schools are using Chromebooks because of the, you know, they're durable and they're fairly easy to use. So
yeah, and I think they're really good for I mean, I suppose the challenge with them is if you're used to Microsoft products, I mean, it's because it's a different way of working, because you don't see anything on the desktop, although it does save stuff on a Chromebook. And so maybe, I mean, that might be a generational thing. I was just looking for, like, can you buy, thinking of the gold leaf meat in Australia, if you can buy a golden MacBook, and apparently you can, 24-karat gold MacBook, which is between $30,000 and $38,000, from The Alchemist, the goldalchemist.com, which it's still cheaper than that restaurant bill, incidentally.
Which is insane, right? It's like, save your money. At least the steak is gone. Like, one, you would get, at least you get a gold-plated Mac. But it's insane that people are paying money for that kind of stuff.
And a gold-plated toilet at the end of it all. a sparkly turd, which you could probably sell on eBay. Or maybe get an NFT of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing all these different things. So, yeah.
All the new tech trends. Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, we really covered everything today. Expensive dinner bills, the new MacBook Pro, the new polish was a
and a golden turd, which is a metaphor for everything we spoke.
I'm gonna say pass on everything we've talked about today. But I did find the topics interesting. So, with that, let's wrap. Mustafa, anything to tell people?
Like, the YouTube channel is like steadily increasing. The Dave Martin interview has been very, very popular, which is really good because he spoke about some really interesting things. So again, check out those, and also wait for we're interviewing a bunch of people. So wait, check out those when they drop soon.
Yeah, yeah. Plus one to the YouTube channel if you haven't done those. So subscribe. And then if you've been listening to us on Anchor or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, if you're on Apple Podcasts, it'd be awesome if you could just drop us like a review. It takes 5 seconds. But yeah, this is a podcast. Mustafa is a passion project for us. We've been kind of slowly growing over time. The episodes take a ton of time for us to kind of like record and edit and like produce and come up with topics. We do like a lot of prep to make sure we're getting interesting episodes. So yeah. If you have ideas for topics, drop a line, and we have more amazing content coming soon. So thanks for joining Design Huddle, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.